Well, a very warm welcome to everyone as well. Those who are just arriving, well made, and I guess others might be skidding their way here. But my name's David. I'm the pastor here at Holland Road Baptist Church, and we're so pleased that you've joined us and hope that this is a time that blesses you as you just take time to sing with us and to read God's word and to reflect on the Christmas story. So I would love to pray for us right now at the start of our service that we would know God's blessing as we gather together. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time we're able to share together. We thank you for bringing each one here safely. And Lord, we continue to pray for others who might be on their way, that you'd protect them, that you'd watch over them. And Lord, we thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you for the message of Christmas. And Lord, we pray that as we reflect on it again, as we sing about it again, Lord, that you would bless each one of us here, that we would know the peace and the joy that you bring. So, God, we commit this service to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to have our first reading of this night.
The first reading is found from Matthew, the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
Please take your seats, everyone. We're now going to have our next reading, which is going to be in a number of different languages. So if you're doing an international reading, if you could come forward, stand at the stage on the front, and we're going to be following on the story from Matthew 1, 22 and 23. So if you're doing a reading, do just come forward. Great.
L'Évangile selon Matthieu, verset numéro 22. Tout cela arriva enfin que s'accomplisse ce que le Seigneur avait annoncé par le prophète. Voici, la Vierge sera enceinte. Elle enfantera un fils et on lui donnera le nom d'Emmanuel, ce qui signifie Dieu avec nous.
Evangeli ngokubala kuka Matthew, isahluko sokuqala, iverse 22. Lokhu konke kwenziwa ukuba kugcwaliseke okwashunyelwa inkosi ngomprofethi ukuthi bheka intombi iyakukhulelwa izale indodana baya kuqamba igama layo uEmmanuel ukuthi ukumkhumshelwa uThixo enathi.
انجیل متا باب 1 آیه 22 و 23. و این همان پیغامی است که خداوند قرنها قبل به زبان نبی خود اشعیا فرموده بود که بنگرید، دختری باکره آبستن می شود و پسری به دنیا خواهد آورد و او را امانوئیل خواهد نامید. امانوئیل به زبان عبری به معنی خدا با ماست.
وهذا كله كان لكي يتم قيل من الرب بالنبي القائل هو ذا العذراء تحبل وتلد ابنا ويدعون اسمه عمانوئيل الذي تفسيره الله معنا.
Mateo 1 versículo 22 and 23. Nangyari ang lahat ng ito upang matupad ang sinabi ng Panginoon sa pamamagitan ng propeta, maglilihi ang isang dalaga at manganganak ng isang lalaki, at tatawagin itong Emmanuel. Ang kahulugan ay kasama natin ang Diyos.
Thanks, guys. Well, we've had a number of different languages. I don't know if you knew what they were. The first was French. Then we had Zulu. Then we had Farsi. Then we had Arabic. And this is the translation in English. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
We're going to continue in Matthew's Gospel from the end of chapter 1. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chiefs, priests, and teachers of the law, he asked where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Well, one of the things I love about carols is that some of them can double up as prayers. And so just before I take a few moments to reflect on some of these carols and on some of the readings we've had, why don't we just bow our heads? And I'm going to just pray that last verse we just sung for us as we spend a few moments together. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. As we reflect on some of these carols and on these readings, I think there might be something on the platform that could help us. I wonder if you've been wondering what this is down here. And I don't think I have ever opened up a present as large as this underneath one of my Christmas trees when I've been growing up, or even more recently. I mean, this is quite a big present, isn't it? I mean, I don't know quite how one unwraps something like this. I might need some help. You know, when you get, has anyone had a really large present? And then you're like, I think it's better be someone who's a bit bigger. I mean, Tim, maybe you could actually just come and help me. Just trying to unpack what this is here. It might be a kind of IKEA flat pack. I hope not, because I'm actually rubbish at doing those kind of things. But maybe it's something quite useful. Can we just rip it? I think we can rip it. Wow. Look at this. A pedal. And wow. That's a wheel, and look at these, this bit of packaging. Wow. Does anyone recognize it yet? What is it? A bike. Anything particular kind of bike? A tandem. You know, wow, this is amazing. A tandem. Cool. Do you know, a tandem is a fantastic present because you can actually, you know, you can like journey along. Oh, Tim, be careful. You can actually journey along with someone else. Isn't that great? And you get to be together as you go along. And you know, I think that this might just be a little reminder of a huge, huge present that God gave to us at Christmas. It's actually summed up in one word that came up in a number of our carols in that last carol we just sung. It came up in our reading, the international reading that we had a few moments ago. And it's this word, Emmanuel. Can you say that with me, everyone? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. That's the one word I want us to take a few moments just to think about. It was there in that reading that was read in a number of different languages. We had how the angel came to Joseph, and this is what the angel said. We think we've got that up on the screen as well. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And in fact, in that last carol that we just sung, Our Little Town of Bethlehem, the last line of it, which again I think we've got up here on the screen, says this: Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Emmanuel, it's a name given to Jesus. And it means God with us. So why is that so important? Why is that relevant to us? Why is that good news at Christmas time? Why is that a wonderful Christmas gift? Well, there's a couple of things. And the first reason is this. It means we're not alone. We're not alone. You know, I love relationships with friends and with family and with those in the church and those in the community. And relationships are such an important part of our life. They're so exciting. In fact, I love this little book, Why Christmas, and I'm going to have a number of copies available at the end. Anyone's welcome to take one. But let me just read something it says about relationships here in this little book. It says this: relationships are exciting. They are the most important aspect of our lives. Our relationships with our parents, boyfriend or girlfriend, husband or wife, children, grandchildren, friends, and so on. And Christianity is first and foremost about relationships rather than rules. It's about a person more than a philosophy, and it's about the most important relationship of all, our relationship with the God who made us. And so life is full of relationships, relationships with one another and relationships with God who made us. And it's wonderful and exciting, but it's not always easy, is it? It's a bit like riding a tandem relationship. Sometimes you kind of, it's harder than it looks. And particularly, it gets really hard when you want to go in different directions. That doesn't work. It doesn't work drastically when you're on a tandem. And it's true in relationships as well. When selfishness creeps in and we want to do things my way, then often that's when a tension can come in a relationship. And you know, Christmas time is often portrayed in our media and on the ads and on the Christmas cards as this kind of idyllic family time or time with friends where everything's kind of wonderful. But our relationships are not always like that. And actually, Christmas time can be a time when loneliness is very keenly felt by people. Even when you're with many others. Sometimes the most lonely thing is to be at a party where you actually still feel alone. And in fact, Christmas is a time, it's well documented and recorded, where actually there's loads of sometimes family quarrels and feuds that they often even begin at Christmas. There's sometimes just after Christmas is a higher rate of marriages breaking up, even suicides go. So what is it that has gone wrong that means that sometimes this time that's meant to be a time of coming together, of relationship, what is it that's happened so that sometimes we feel this acute loneliness and maybe even Christmas is a time when, even if we're not feeling that at that very time, it kind of brings back memories of past broken relationships, past problems, past griefs. Maybe you even can relate to that tonight, or even you're aware of people who this Christmas will find it hard. It's good for us to be mindful of them, be thinking of them. But the wonderful news of the Christmas message, the gift of Christmas, is that we are not alone anymore. God has moved to us. God has come to us that we might not be alone. And here's the amazing thing. In our relationships with one another, sometimes it's us who've made a mistake. Sometimes it's others who've made a mistake. Sometimes our selfishness has got in the way. Sometimes it's the selfishness of others. And at times we're all selfish in different ways. But with God, it's always us who've moved away from him. I heard the story once of a man and a woman who were driving along in a truck, a bit like this one up here on the screen. You know, one of those kind of trucks that has got a front seat that's all one seat. And the wife was sitting on one far side. They'd been married for a number of years, and the husband was driving. And the wife kind of went to the husband and said, you know, why don't we snuggle up like we used to? You know, we used to be really close together, and here I am sitting by the window, and there you are. And the man turned to the wife and said, well, I didn't move. And you know, it's a bit like that with us and God. He hasn't moved, but we have said, I want to go my way. And we've moved away from him, and that's where our problems all flow from. Because as we've gone away from him, we've gone away from his call on our lives to be those that love others and are not selfish. And so then our other relationships with other people go wrong too. And the amazing thing is that though we've moved from God, he's moved and followed us and has come into our world in the person of Jesus Christ. So that we're not alone anymore. God wants to be with us. But there's a second wonderful thing about this word Emmanuel. Not just so that we're not alone, but there's this other thing that I just want you to watch something I saw. It just takes a couple of minutes, and this just helps us unpack that other wonderful thing about the word Emmanuel. So here we go. We're just going to see something on the screen that takes about a couple of minutes, and then I just want to look briefly at that second other thing. So here we go, Maria. Emmanuel, God showed up. It's not just that we're not alone. It's this amazing fact that God is not unknown. God is not unknown. You know, there's a story of a child who was doing a picture. You know how when children are doing pictures, sometimes grown-ups are looking over their shoulder trying to think, what is this picture? And this child's gran was looking over her shoulder and was kind of going, well, what are you drawing? And the little girl said, well, it's a picture of God. And her gran said, well, no one knows what God looks like. And the little child said, well, wait till I finish my drawing, then they'll know. Do you ever wonder what God is like? Who he is? Well, the guessing game about God is over because of Emmanuel. God with us. God has come and showed up on planet Earth in the person of Jesus Christ. The amazing truth of the carols we've been singing, of the nativity plays you might have been acting in at school or you might have gone to see, the amazing truth of the Christmas message is that Jesus is God. And that is wonderful because it means God can be known. Really clearly, we can know what he's like. And though it's an amazing mystery, and in these few minutes, there's no way we can delve the depths of this amazing gift, that God took on flesh and became a baby. Staggering. Yet if we can realize that Jesus is God, then, you know, we can see why these carols have such a sense of wonder and praise that God has come to earth and it's Jesus. And we see why in Jesus' life he did such amazing miracles, because he was God. And we see why he had power to forgive people their sins, because he's God. And we can see why he could do these amazing miracles, because he's God. And we can see why his self-giving life and death could have such power to transform lives and bring forgiveness and wholeness and eternal life. Because if God sacrificially gave his life, wouldn't that be an immense thing that could do amazing things for us? And we can see why, if Jesus is God, that death couldn't hold him, that he rose again. And if we get Christmas, it all starts to make more sense. Emmanuel, God with us. Here is the amazing gift of Christmas. It is, as I said right at the beginning, immense. God has given us himself, that you and I might have life, and life to the full, and life eternal. Life in him, and life with him. What a wonderful thing. And you know, this gift is so big that I've found I actually am still unwrapping it. I've been kind of unwrapping it for years. I'm still marveling at it, still realizing that this is immense. This is huge. And I often find actually it's so big that, like I got Tim to help me with the tandem, I need people to help me unpack this gift of Emmanuel. I sometimes just go for coffee with people who may be unpacking it for longer, and I sit down with them and I just ask them a few questions. Say, so I'm thinking about this. I've noticed this as I've been looking at the Bible, as I've been thinking about it, as I've been thinking about that carol that we sing at Christmas, and I've noticed this, and what do you think about that? And that's how you kind of unwrap it. You explore it. But you know, it's amazing how many people hear about this gift at Christmas and never take the time to unwrap it. Has that ever happened with you? You got a Christmas present, you discover it sometime later, and you actually forgot to unwrap it. It's usually those little ones, they're not that special. But even so, as soon as you realize, you unwrap it. This is immense. And so I want to encourage you, as you go through this Christmas time and into the new year, why not, even if you came with a friend, why not ask them, say, can we go for a coffee and take some time to just unwrap this Christmas present a bit more? I'd be interested in know what you think and ask some questions. And maybe you've come tonight and you haven't come with a friend. You came because of one of the flyers, or you saw an advert or something like that. And inside your new sheet, your update, we call it here, you'll notice right inside in this corner here, it just says, if you'd like to know more about what you've heard tonight, then you can just text the church mobile number and we'll link you up with someone who can, again, just talk this through with you. If you're free on Monday afternoons, you can just drop in. There's even an email address there. But why not just take time to say, yeah, I'd like to meet with someone and explore this further? Because big gifts, they take a while to unpack and unwrap. But while gifts can sometimes be kind of quite involved when they're big, at the heart of it, gifts are really very simple. Children really get gifts. They really understand gifts. They're freely given. How wonderful is that? And what do you do with them? You receive them. And at the heart of this gift of Emmanuel, that's it. Yes, it's immense. Yes, it's a huge thing. But it's offered freely for us to receive with thankfulness. And how do you receive it? Well, one of the many ways that you can receive God's gift, one of the maybe most common, is just by talking to God. That's prayer. And as I talk to God in prayer, I often use the same kind of words I use with others. Words like, sorry. Thank you. Please. And I've just got up here on the screen a very simple prayer. A prayer of saying, God, I want to receive that gift of Emmanuel. He just says, sorry, I moved from you, God. Thank you for Jesus. I receive the gift of your presence. Please come into my life. You know, as many have maybe prayed a prayer like this in this room, or As I've prayed it in the past, I tell you what, when God comes into your life, such joy and peace comes, even in the midst of some of the challenges of life that still remain. So I'm going to just pray this prayer now. And if you want to own it for yourself as I pray it, why not echo it in your heart as well? And this Christmas, receive this wonderful gift of Emmanuel. If you want to, if you want to embrace and welcome God into your life, not just for this Christmas, but for the rest of your life. So let's bow our heads right now. And if you want to echo this prayer, then feel free to do that. You can do that in your heart as I just pray. Sorry, I moved from you, God. Thank you for Jesus. I receive the gift of your presence. Please come into my life. Amen.